Good evening, Oasis. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory once more. Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, your goodness, Lord. You're a good God, Lord, and you've watched over and protected us, Lord, and kept us and provided for us and delivered us, Lord, and comforted us, Lord, and helped us when we needed help. Lord, without you, Lord, we are nothing. As your word says, in you we live and move and have our being. So we thank you, Lord, and we invite your presence here tonight. We ask, oh God, that you will be in total control of this lesson. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that you will give me utterance and help me to deliver it as I ought. Give your people, Lord, a receiving heart. Help them to hear, Lord, what the Spirit is saying. And Lord, we pray that your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this morning, I was going over my confessions, and I was reading from this book. It says prayers. It's kind of heavy duty. Prayers that rout demons and break curses. A sister had blessed me with this book a couple years ago, and I read, you know, I did some of the confessions, and then I put it down. And then earlier this year, I decided to pick it up again. So this morning, I'm doing my confessions. And then I came across, it has here prayers for angelic deliverance, which is what I'm teaching on tonight. Angels. The topic of my lesson is angels on assignment. And so I read it, and I decided that I was going to read it to you guys. Okay, here we go. It's kind of heavy duty. The confessions are kind of heavy duty, and they're definitely not for the faint of heart. It says, let your angels ascend and descend upon my life. Galatians 28:12. Give your angels charge over me and deliver me. Psalms 91:11. Let the angel of the Lord chase the enemy. Psalms 35:5. Let the angel of the Lord persecute the enemy. Psalms 35:6. Let your angels fight for me in the heavens against principalities. Daniel 10:13. Let the angel of your presence save me. Isaiah 63:9. Let your angels go before me and make the crooked places straight. Zechariah 12:8. Send your angels before me to prosper my way. Exodus 33:22. Lord, hear my voice and send your angels to deliver me. Numbers 20:16. Send your angels to minister unto me. Matthew 4:11. I have come to Zion and to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12:22. I am an heir of salvation. Send your angels to minister to me. Hebrews 1:14. Send your angels to deliver me from the hand of the enemy. Matthew 12:11. Lord, confess me before your holy angels. Luke 12:8. Now, for those of you who were here, Sunday night, remember, this is one of the things we talked about Jesus confessing us before his angels. Send your angels to minister in the night to me. Acts 27:23. Let your angels meet me as I walk in my destiny. Genesis 32:1. Send your angels to be involved in reaching the lost. Acts 8:26. Release your angelic army to fight for and defend your church. Psalm 68:17. Send your angels to smite the demons that come to destroy me. Isaiah 37:36. Now, I'm going to dissect some of these verses. I don't have time to do all of them. But if anybody wants this prayer, and you know, I'll be more than happy to run it out for you. Okay, Isaiah 63:9. Angels will fight against our enemies. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Now this particular angel is called the presence of God. Remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, And they had to cross that desert, that vast desert, and go into the promised land. There was an angel that took them there, okay? He is frequently mentioned as the angel who supervised the journey of the children of Israel through the wilderness. As we know, the journey through the desert was filled with all kinds of adventure and thrill. If you remember, the children of Israel, they complained. They were always complaining about something, pretty much like some of us today. they murmured against Moses, threatened to stone him on more than a few occasions. This last Easter, I was watching the Ten Commandments on TV, and they had this guy, I guess he was a troublemaker, and they were standing at the edge of, of the Red Sea. And, of course, he was accusing Moses and all that stuff. And I was thinking to myself, why don't they just shove him in the sea? just get rid of him, because he was a troublemaker. All it takes one to stir up trouble. And so the children of Israel, they were constantly, it didn't matter what God did. They saw all the miracles that God did to deliver them from Egypt. And still, they complained. It's not just like us. God help us. We have a need. We pray, God meet the need. And then the next time we have a need, instead of remembering what he did, we complain. So, it was just from one thing to the next with these people. And, there were times when God got angry with them, and some of them were destroyed because, they talked negative. I'm going to touch on that a little more. But in spite of everything that they did, in spite of their murmurings and their complaining and whining and everything, God never took that angel away from them. Isn't he a good God? Yeah. Amen. I mean, think about us. And how we act sometimes, and still God loves us, still he forgives us, and he does not call back our angel. He doesn't, sit there on his throne and say, angel, forget about her, forget about him, come on back. No, our angel is with us. He's a God of love. Our angels are delegated to be with us and to help us, And that angel was there helping the children of Israel as they navigated their way through the promised land. Exodus 33:2, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. A lot of ites. these are different. There were different nationalities of people. I guess we can, we can call them who inhabited the land of at the time, and they were not about to just clear out and let the children of Israel take over. Oh no, and they were living there for a long time, and here comes these dreaded children of Israel, and. They were about to fight, to defend what they had. But God said that he was going to send an angel to drive them out, drive the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, all the different ites out. The children of Israel, if they had trusted God like they should have been doing, they didn't have to worry about fighting. God was going to do all the fighting for them. Same thing with us. If we will just trust God like we should, we wouldn't be staying up at night worrying about stuff. Can't sleep because the mortgage is due and we don't know where the money is coming from, or the car payment, or insurance, or whatever it is, that comes against us to make us worry. We would know that God will take care of us, okay? So the children of Israel, they had an angel that God had already delegated to fight for them. I believe that all of us witnessed something very similar when we watched the first Gulf War. How many of you remember that very first Gulf War? You know, I was watching it on TV. You know, my husband was still active duty, and we were stationed at Fort Benning. And I remembered the media was talking about the Republican Guard, Saddam Hussein's dreaded Republican Guard, and how they were so fierce, and they were trying to compare them, you know, with the American Army and all that. And then it wasn't even a war. They just threw their weapons down and they surrendered with their hands up. Isn't that amazing? Our soldiers barely had to fight.
That's right.
All those, you know, tanks and everything that they fetch over there, they had to use it. And I believe that was because God had an angel, you know, that put the fear of God on those people, on those soldiers. And, you know, they were smart. They decided, why are we fighting? Let's just give up, you know. They threw their weapons down, you know, and they all came out with their hands up in the air. Now, if that wasn't God, I don't know what is.
Amen.
That was definitely God. God will fight our battles for us. He has angels ready to fight for us when we need it, okay? They're all around us. There was no need for them to fear. Angels assist in spreading the gospel. Let's look at Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now this is about the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading the scriptures, but he didn't understand a word of what he was reading. How many of us have been there? We're reading the word, but we're not quite getting it, you know? I remember there were times when I read 3-4 chapters, and then at the end of it, I said, Lord, I've read your word, but I just don't understand a single word I read. But I read it. You know, I wanted, you know, to get it in me. Okay? And so here he was, he's reading the scriptures, and he didn't understand anything that he read. So the angel spoke to Philip and said, arise and go to the south. He told him exactly where to go. The angel knew that there was someone there who needed the scriptures to be interpreted to him. God knows when we need interpretation of his word.
Amen.
Of course, we have the Holy Spirit today, you know, who would reveal things to us. You know, a lot of times we're reading the word and suddenly we get it. When I first got saved, I was reading the Bible one night, and at this particular passage, I kept reading it over and over and over, but it just didn't make no sense, you know, be angry and sin not. I just couldn't understand that, and I said, Lord, how is it that, you know, you can be angry and not sin? Because I was saved in one of those holiness churches, you know, and one of the things that they taught me, at least that's what I believe, is that when you become a Christian, you can get angry, because Christians don't get angry. So when I read that word, be angry and sin not, it make a lick of sense to me. But I kept reading it. I knew it was God's word. I believed it, even though I didn't understand it. And then one night, just like that, the Holy Spirit just came to me. He enlightened my understanding. You know, one of the prayers that we pray in intercessory, we ask God to what's the scripture? Open the eyes. I'm sorry, I'm blanking out. Open the eyes of our people's understanding so that they would know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory and inheritance of the saints. You know, there's some other scriptures that we read because we want our people to understand God's word. We just don't want, you know, you guys to read it and don't know what you read. You must be able to understand the word. You must be able to appropriate it when it's necessary, you know. And so the angel knew that this Ethiopian eunuch, he needed someone to help him understand. And so he told, you know, he told Philip where to go. And so in Acts, now this is the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the scriptures and didn't understand it. So Philip explained it to him. And then let's go on in Acts 8, 36 through 40. As they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, this is not part of my notes, but you know that scripture that says death and life is in the power of the tongue? Right, and then the word also says, you know, that in order for us to be saved, we not only have to believe in our heart, but we have to confess with our mouth. It just came to me here. It's amazing how quickly the Holy Spirit can just give you stuff. When we confess with our mouth that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died and He rose again, we are speaking life. You know, that's why he said we must confess with our mouth. And last Sunday I brought out the point that we can't be secret Christians. You know, we can't be no Nicodemuses today. Nicodemus is the one who came, you know, late one night because he was afraid of the Pharisees, and you know, because he loved the praise of man more than God. So he came secretly to God. And there are a bunch of Nicodemuses in the church today. They're ashamed of their, you know, their of the gospel of Christ. We can't be ashamed, because Jesus said that if we're ashamed of Him, He's going to be ashamed of us. And I know none of us want that. Okay, so when he said, "I believe with all my heart," he was speaking life. That's what he was doing, speaking life. Okay, because when you believe and you confess with your mouth, you're saved. We're saved from eternal damnation. And we live. We're living now unto God. Okay? So, and Philip said, "If thou believe," and Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be saved." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. So the angel knew that this eunuch needed the gospel explained to him. And he had Philip to go help him. So angels assist. Angels will assist us in spreading the gospel. He definitely will. Yeah. Now there's a story that I want to read to you guys. This is a book that I'm reading. When Pastor asked me to teach on angels, I started looking through my books, and I found this book, Guardian Angels, How to Activate Their Ministry in Your Life, by Dr. Roy Hicks. And I've had, you know, somebody gave me this book, I think, sometime in the 90s, and I started reading it, and I thought it was boring, so I put it down, and I never picked it up again until Pastor told me to teach on angels. And then all of a sudden it wasn't boring anymore. It's amazing how your perspective changed, you know. Okay, so where's the story? All right, so here we go. Having had the privilege of sitting under the ministry of Amy Semple McPherson, I have heard her relate many accounts of the ministry of angels, and the following is one of them. She first began her ministry as a young woman on the East Coast using a gospel tent. As she related it, she arrived at a certain city, and the people who assisted her had unknowingly pitched the tent on some property that was used as a place for the local young men to play baseball. She was told this, but it was too late to change plans. They had to go ahead as planned, at least for the first night. As the service began, she saw the angry young men coming from the bushes around the tent. They were carrying gasoline cans, and she knew they intended to burn the tent. She relates, I said to the Lord, what shall I do? The Lord told her to lift her hands and begin to worship him. As she obeyed, her eyes were opened in the spirit, and she saw the tent completely surrounded by a host of angels with their wings extended and touching wingtip to wingtip. As she opened her eyes, she saw the men all with looks of astonishment on their faces. They had dropped their cans and stood there with their mouths agape or agape. Later on, many of them began to attend the services and many were saved. When Angelus Temple, the beautiful church seating 5,300 people, which Mrs. McPherson built in Los Angeles, California, was erected, she had the painters stencil angels wingtip to wingtip around the perimeter of the auditorium, just as the huge dome, under the huge dome to commemorate the event. God sent deliverance. There were angels. I heard another story, I read it in another book, where this pastor and his family were sleeping one night, and some satanic people in the area had, you know, they had done whatever they were going to do, and they had sent these witches to kill them. They were going to kill the whole family during the night. Now, the person recounting the story is a witch who got saved later on. And she said that when they got there, her and her, you know, her fellow, there were angels surrounding the pastor's house. And they couldn't get in. No matter how hard they tried to break through, they couldn't get in. And she said, one angel, all he did was bat his eye at her and sent her flying flat on her back. And while she was on her back, the angel witnessed to her, you know, told her, you know, that if she didn't come out from the occult and stuff, she was going to die and go to a lost eternity. So she said, while she was on the ground there looking up at the angels, she began to think, Satan must not be that powerful after all, because she was the highest, you know, the strongest witch there, and she couldn't get through. All he did was bat his eye and sent her flying. So she started thinking, well, anyway, to make a long story short, she got saved. They could not get through to that pastor and his family. They were sent to kill the whole family during the night, but God sent his angels and had that property surrounded. You know, we are surrounded by angels and we don't realize it. You know, if God was to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and help us to see, we'd be shocked. Angels are all around us. You know, it's just that we don't know it. And so, their gifts, last Sunday I said that I believe that they're gifts that God has given to us to help us, you know, on our way. They aid in the spreading of the gospel. But verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Spirit of the Lord just caught him away. One minute he was with the Ethiopian eunuch, the next minute he was, you know, miles away where he was supposed to be. Didn't miss a beat. Amen. You know, God loves us. Yes. And we know there's no need for us to be afraid of anything or anyone. What does the word says? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one, right? But the enemy, he tries to make us afraid. That's one of his chief weapons, fear. If he can have you in fear, you're afraid, you know, of this, or you're afraid of that. And no, we have angels. There are angels with us. Consistently, all throughout the Bible, the presence of angels are seen participating in the affairs of men. Yes, they do. Whether to help in the conversion of souls, as we just read, you know, with the Ethiopian eunuch, or to deliver a message or bring deliverance, angels are here to help us. Okay, so let's go to Acts 27, and we're going to read 23 through 25. Now, Paul is on a ship with a bunch of other prisoners because, The Jews back in those days accused them of creating the ruckus and all kinds of stuff, and you know, and then they drag him before, you know, all the leaders, and he finally appealed to Caesar. So he's on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar. And while they're there, let's read verse 23. For there stood by me this night an angel of God. Here's another angel. Whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God had given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that he shall be even, it shall be even as it was told me. The angel appeared in the midst of a storm. The ship was being battered and tossed, you know, by the angry waves. There were claps of thunder and lightning. You don't want to be in the middle of an ocean in a storm. You know, that's the worst time to be in the ocean from my point of view. If I'm going to have to go through a storm, I'd rather be on land, you know. At least I can go hide under the bed or in the closet somewhere. When we lived in Hawaii, we had a hurricane that came to the island. I think her name was Eva, Hurricane Eva. I mean, just tore the island up. And that was my first time experiencing a hurricane. I'd never, you know, I heard about it, but you know, in Guyana, we don't have hurricanes. So I just had my daughter, Petal. She was just, I guess, 2-3 months old. And I packed me, you know, mothers, how mothers think. I had me my little backpack with all the diapers and wipes and, you know, the milk and everything. And as the wind blew, it blew the roof. We lived in a duplex, and my neighbor, the wind just tore her roof off. Just tore part of it off. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, a tree fell on top. And I was so scared, I grabbed the bag and I ran in the closet and hid. I ran in, you know, with my baby, I ran in there and I closed the closet door. I was so scared. Imagine being on a ship in the middle of a wide ocean, away from the shores. And the ship is being tossed this way and that way. And there's, you know, serious claps of thunder and lightning. I hate lightning. Oh. This is, you know, I'm trying to paint a picture for you to see. It, you know, this they weren't having a picnic. They weren't in the beach, you know, with sunshine or anything. This is serious business. But in the midst of the storm, the angel appeared. And he said, fear not. Have you noticed in the Bible, every time an angel appear, they usually say, fear not? That's because I guess their presence is so overwhelming that, you know, it would put fear into our hearts. And I believe that's one of the reasons a lot of times why they appear as us. You know, they come in the form of human beings so as not to scare us, because they, you know, they can be some fearful looking creatures. So he said, fear not, thou must be brought to Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all that sail with thee. In other words, he told Paul, you don't have to be afraid. No one is going to be hurt. Maybe the ship, you know, they ran aground and they had to get rid of some of their stuff. But no one was hurt, just like the angel said. God sent an angel, and I believe you guys will agree with me, because Paul was on that ship.
Yes.
Maybe if Paul wasn't on the ship, who knows? What would have happened? You know, all it takes is one of us.
Amen.
One Christian on a ship, one Christian on a plane going somewhere. I think it was Jesse Duplantis I was listening to, and he was saying, you know, if he's on a plane, he said, no matter what's going on with the plane, you know, sometimes the planes go through pockets and there's, you know, turbulence. And he said, as long, I know that as long as I'm on that plane, I'm reaching my destination. And I thought to myself, gee, I want to be on a plane with you. You know? But as long as we have confidence in God's word, it doesn't matter what storm comes against us, we can rest assured that we are reaching our destination. That plane is not going down. That ship did not go down. It hit, you know, some rock or something, and, you know, they had some damage. But nonetheless, they all were saved. Okay? All it takes is one. One of God's children to be someplace, and everybody else can benefit because of that one Christian. We can be a blessing, all right? So the angel told Paul, fear not. He brought him news of comfort, and Paul knew beyond the shadow of the doubt that he was going to make it. You know, in the midst of the storm, in spite of the thunder and the angry bolts of lightning, he had that quiet assurance that they were going to make it because the angel said so. God has also given us his word that he will watch over us. He will protect us. And if we delegate God's word, we appropriate the word, we speak the word, instead of, you know, they tell you you're going to fire, your boss says, I'm going to fire you. And instead of, you know, woe is me, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay the rent? You know, how? What am I going to do? Instead of saying that, if we speak the word, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, the doctor said, tells you that you have some killer disease and, you know, put your house in order and 6 months you'll be gone. And, you know, we don't have to receive that word. We can speak what God's word says. You know, for he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We can make it personal. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. And we keep speaking the word and speaking the word and speaking the word. And as we speak the word, you know, we don't necessarily have to have an angel like, you know, like these people did. God's word is powerful. Now, but sometimes he'll send an angel. You know, and as human beings, you know, we like to see the angels, don't we? You know, we're people of sight. But the word says we walk by faith, not by sight. Whether we get an angel or not, we can have that quiet assurance, just like Paul did, that everything was going to be okay. All right? So this is a short lesson, because I got short notice. But I want to read one more. I thought this one was interested in a very interesting story from this book. I recommend you guys get this book if you can, Guardian Angels and How to Activate Their Ministry in Your Life. Now, okay, page 89. Okay, I recall being with a pastor who poured out all of his difficulties to me and ended by saying, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Now, I remember this, the reason this resonated with me, because years ago when my daughter Petal was sick, I can't remember what was wrong with her, but I had taken her to the doctor and, you know, they prescribed antibiotics and stuff, but she wasn't getting any better. And so I was standing in the bathroom and she came to me. She said, Mom, you know, I don't feel good. And I stood there and I remember saying these exact words. I don't know what to do. And immediately I heard a voice spoke to me and said, what do you mean you don't know what to do? You can pray, can't you? So I prayed. I laid my hands on Petal and prayed. And she went and lay down and fell asleep. So much so that it concerned me. You know, I went and, you know, shook her to make sure everything was okay, because the girl just was knocked out. But an hour later, she woke up and she came in the kitchen and she declared she was so hungry. And I mean, she was whole, completely healed.
Man.
You know,
glory.
I don't know what to do. That's not the thing we need to say as Christians. But, you know, so many times we say it. I did emphasize with him in his situation. With him in his situation. But I asked him if he believed that God would help him with his problem. He quickly responded, yes. But I said, you didn't say that. You said you didn't know what you were going to do. Immediately he saw what he was doing and corrected his speech. See, our angels are listening to what we say. They're all around us listening to what we say. I wanted him to realize that his words had the power to help or to hinder. What a big difference our words make. They can change the very atmosphere around us. If it is possible for us to deactivate our angels by our doubting words, see, we can deactivate our angels. Then it is also possible that evil angels can move in, fill the void, and make our situation worse than it was before. How many times have we helped those angels to come and bring chaos and confusion into our lives because of what we say? Instead of saying what the word says, you know, there are good angels and there are bad angels. Satan have his angels too, and they don't mean us any good. But when we speak, you know, contrary to what the word says, we're cooperating with them. And we're opening the door for them to come in and bring, you know, disaster. So we have to watch what we say. Jesus taught in Luke 12:8-9 that if we deny him before men, he will deny us before the angels. What happens when our idle and careless words, when we deny his power and ability to work on our behalf? Is it not the same as denying the Lord before his angels? It is. You know, we've never thought about it like that, but it is. Is that not saying the wrong thing before our angel? You know, I believe a lot of times we grieve our angels by what we say. They're there to help us, but they hearken to the voice of his word. But when we say contrary to what his word says, they can't help us. Because they only hearken to the voice of his word. They hearken to his commandments. Sometimes an emotional response coming from us concerning a Christian friend who is experiencing the trying of his faith can be idle words. There are words born of sympathy on our part, but they do not encourage the hurting saint. That's why sometimes it's just best to stay quiet and not say anything. May God give us the wisdom to emphasize, but at the same time, speak words of life and encouragement. We believe that angels are sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation, because that's what the word says. They're ministering spirits sent to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Let us strive to speak words that will invoke their help in behalf of the troubled saint instead of ignoring their powerful presence. And I read this part to say, you know, that what does the word says? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. In the Mark 11:24, we shall have what we say, you know. We cannot do those words, by the way, by, you know, asking God to forgive us for those negative things and ask the blood of Jesus to you know, wipe the slate clean. So Satan does not have anything to use against us, because you know that's what he does. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren, and he takes our own words and use it against us, right? And then he'll say, and their angel was right there. He heard what she said. So we don't want that, do we? So, you know, that was a little side journey that I took to encourage us to be careful what we say. Because not only is the enemy listening, but our angel is listening. And he cannot help us when we speak contrary to his word. they're on assignment. They have different angels. When I first started, I brought out the fact that different angels have different assignments, okay? But it doesn't matter what the assignment of the angel is. If we will speak contrary to what the Word of God says, our angel cannot help us, okay? So I trust that this lesson it was an encouragement, and it will encourage you to think before you speak. Know that you do not have to be afraid, because God's word is true and he's faithful to do what he says he's going to do, and that our angels are never far from us. They're always there, you know, and we can, you know, we can call on them. We can give the angels charge based on God's word to do what the word says, and they'll help us.